Tim, this is Rob. Who's on?
Rob, it's us.
Hey, welcome.
Hey, it's Jacobet and Madeline.
Hello there.
All right.
Can you hear us okay?
Jacobet, I can hear you clearly. How are you?
We're doing well. We want to let you know that we're in the process of writing you a nice little love note since you never learned how to do it. And
That's awesome.
And since we've been doing it for a little while, we wanted, just to let you know how much we appreciate
Oh, aren't you nice? That's so sweet. Now you're going to make me feel even more guilty than I always do.
you. No, that was totally tongue-in-cheek joke and not a good one, I might add.
No, it's a very funny one. You'll get along really well with my golf buddies. They never.
What? And again, this is your meeting, but I swear I would love for you to do a little kind of a repeat of some of the things that we did last week. Yvette was not able to attend to be with us, and she's been out of the office for a couple of days. And you spent some good time, quality time with us talking about the Bank of Trust and things like that. I mean, this 24-month calendar, we reviewed that for this week. That's, I don't want to say more cut and dried, but it's stuff that we would be doing anyway, like October RMDs, tax stuff, year-end tax harvesting, all those kind of things that we would typically want to put on this calendar anyway. And I'm not saying we know that. Never mind. Let's move on. But I'd love for her to hear you do a kind of a deep dive into the enthusiastically endorsed professional thing and the Bank of Trust, because that's something that is
Okay.
exactly what we are interested in making part of our regular practice.
Okay. What else?
Then I was going to bug you about some more stuff about the enthusiastically, you called it the golden Rolodex,
Right.
and just so it might. I was asking for some more elaboration, but it might come out in whatever you're going to be saying anyhow. So I'll keep my mouth shut. I don't know if y'all have anything. We're all looking around here. We've been working.
See, Jack was very excited about the meeting that I missed last
That's
Wednesday.
why I wanted you to do a little
I thought
bit.
he wants a repeat. He was
It's
happy.
not necessarily a repeat, but the high points. I mean, we don't have to spend a lot of time on the fact that you can't write a note, but we'll spend time. We'll talk about the
That's great. That's great. Well, it's an emotional thing. The Bank of Trust is something, that I'm pretty passionate about, and one that I really try to fulfill and feel horrible when I don't do it. So it's, but I guess it's the awareness of it that makes you even more passionate about it. We talk, Larry Wilson, I mentioned that I think last week. We talked about, and it came up twice today, consciously competent. We do things, but we don't know what we're doing. And when we're asked to teach it, we have to figure out what it is that we did. I was once asked to be the sales manager in Providence, Rhode Island, after I was a producer for 7 years. And they went in, and I was now the sales manager. And I had to figure out what it is that made me successful. And I didn't know. So I had to study, and I took some courses, Dynamics of Creative Selling and Dynamics of Goal Setting, and I kind of made up a program for them based on what I'd actually done. And it was so much fun, I decided that that's what I want to do for the rest of my life. and I've been doing it ever since. So what I became was consciously competent. I was unconsciously competent. I was doing well, but I didn't know how. And then I became consciously competent. And in each one of these areas that we pick, you know, my book, The Supernova Multiplier, we have seven areas. And in each one, people have become consciously competent about what they do. Or through me, they have become more aware of what they do successfully. And so I interviewed them in my book, and then I built a process around what they said they did so that I could then use that to teach other people how to be as successful as they be. And in the process, they became more aware and became better at what they did. So the Bank of Trust is one of those tools that we use to raise our awareness of what we do all the time. Mm-hmm. We're constantly doing what we say we're going to do. And every time we do what we say we're going to do, we build trust. That's the definition of trust, as far as I'm concerned, is doing what you say you're going to do when you say you're going to do it. And not violating that. You know, if you agree to be a husband and a father and you have taken certain vows, you do that. And you're a good father and you're a good husband. And when you're not, then you break that trust. And that's a big one. You know, that becomes one that changes your life when you screw that up. Well, every day we do the same thing for clients. So when we say we're going to do 12-4-2, we put them on a scheduler. And we have the courage to say that and to do it. And clients love that because no one will do that. I once gave a speech where a guy, I was followed by a gentleman who was a good speaker. And the first thing he did when he got up and said, I would never dare to do 12-4-2. And he said, I'd never teach that because I'd be so afraid that I couldn't follow through on it, or the people that I was teaching wouldn't be able to follow through on it. And so therefore I would never do that. And I said, cheers to us. That makes a wide open runway for us to win. Because what did he talk about? I'd be afraid. I'd be afraid. I wouldn't be confident that they would follow up. I'd be afraid. So what kept him from doing it was fear. And that's the one most debilitating thing that you have in your life is fear. Fear of this, fear of that, fear of the future. Anguish about the past, fear of the future, instead of living in the present. So we want to live in the present. Not be anxious about the future, have lots of courage, and do the right thing consistently. We're going to screw up. That's why we call it a bank. You know, it's a bank of trust. We put the deposits in, and then when something happens that we didn't plan on, that goes wrong, they take a withdrawal from the bank of trust. But it doesn't bankrupt the bank. It's just a withdrawal. And they still want to be our friend and our client and all the rest. And so, you know, that's what we do every day. And we got to have the courage to be able to say, I'm going to do a financial plan, 12-4-2, and rapid response to your problems. 1 hour response, 24-hour resolution. Very few people will actually say the last part, because there's, oh my God, what would happen if I couldn't solve the problem? Well, everything you do is, you know, you answer the phone. That means your response is a lot less than an hour. Your most problems, 90% of all problems get solved in less than, you know, 24 hours. And if you need to take more time, God bless you, the client will let you. You know, you just tell them, it's going to take us a week to do this. I'll call you in a week. And then you call them in a week. And you call them when it's done. Or you email them when it's done so that they're not hanging out there. I wonder if my problem is solved. That's all the service. That's all you really have to think about in terms of service.
Let me,
and then you can.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
No, you go ahead.
No, you've got a question. That's it's
all right. Okay. You because and again, this is great because I really wanted Yvette to hear this because this is not something we need to learn how to do. It's something we need to reinforce that we're doing. This is what we're doing. You know, she's shaking her head affirmatively. That this is what we're doing, want to do, and have been doing, but it just is a matter of becoming more committed to doing.
Well, and people, and like you said, sometimes just letting people know that we're doing
That's it.
So that it's not taken for granted.
Which is what I was just, go ahead.
Yeah, you don't want to give anonymously. You know, you want to tell them, this is what we do, and they go, wow. I mean, if you tell them I'm going to do this, you know, multi-generational planning, 12 contacts, 4 reviews, 2 of them in person, and rapid response to your problems, 1-hour response, 24-hour resolution. How does that sound? 100% of the time you're going to get a wow. How are you going to be able to do that? And you know, right now you're doing it already. All right, so you're going to be able to do it. So you say, hey, we can do that because we limit the number of clients that we do business with. But we do it with 100% of our clients. So if you refer us to somebody, introduce us, you know that they're going to get this same service. Wow, that's amazing. And you got to leverage that. See, that's the key. Most people don't. They don't say it. They don't emphasize it because they're afraid they can't do it because they're afraid. And the key is to drive fear out of your life.
Yeah.
Drive fear out, and what replaces fear?
Confidence.
Happiness.
Yeah.
Those are good replacement tools.
You know, one of the things you said last week, as we were, and I think we kind of dragged you away from the bank of trust. We were letting you elaborate, and then we started talking more and more about it, and then you came up with the bank of hope and love, which is, you know, just a good lesson for life, but also not a bad idea for folks in our business to be able to show clients that. And one of the things that I thought about since last week, and Yvette and I mean, Madeline and I had a little bit of a chance to do that this morning with a presentation. Yvette was not able to be in there, but we did a presentation of a retirement plan with a very unsophisticated group, a couple, but they're part of this big circle of centers of influence and all that kind of stuff. I mean, we got money to meet our minimum, but at the same time, it's just unsophisticated people. And, you know, you can really just tell they really need us because they're just kind of like Joe and Mary six-pack.
Right.
So we were filling up the bank of love, and it dawned on me that we've got some clients, and I don't want to say it's based on sophistication, but it has something to do with their level of sophistication, that will maybe not respond so much to this. You know, they're a little bit, I don't want to say cold, but matter of fact about our relationship. They wouldn't see us as what we're doing to be quite so, hey, that's really neat. You know, I got a card from Yvette, or Madeline mentioned happy birthday to me when she was talking on the phone or something. You know, is that something to be concerned about with a relationship? Do we need to think of the fact that those clients long-term are not as sticky as we'd like for them to be?
It's a really good question, and it makes me think about this. Everybody has a family problem. And the people you're talking about pretend they don't have one. And they are going to be more standoffish. And your job with the 12-4-2s is to make that, just think of it as a flower. And as you talk to them every month and meet with them and spend time with them, that flower will open and open and open and open until it's open, like this client that you mentioned. They're open when they came in. They're going to tell you everything because they trust you and need you. The other one doesn't need you as much. They don't think they do. But as they get to know you and they start to tell you about their family and their family problem or problems, I always say, if you say you don't have a family problem, you may be it.
Oh, good. That's
anyway,
a good one.
Yeah, I know. That's one of my favorite speech lines. Anyway, the idea is that when their son comes home from college or drops out of college because of a drug problem, and you have got a great drug counselor in your golden Rolodex to give to them, they will see you in a different light. And that's where we become their life coach more than their financial planner. We're the person they go to for everything whenever they have a problem because they know we have got people and we've got solutions because we're a connector.
So you're... suggestion would be for us to continue plugging away at these folks, even if they don't respond the way I want them to.
Well, here's the key, Jack. Here's the key. The key is to ask really good questions.
Yeah.
Okay.
And which is interesting because that was my next point with you, and you said this last week. Yvette is great about preparing agendas for our meetings, and she does it anyway, and I mean does it for our presentations of our retirement plans. But based on a couple of calls ago, you did the agenda for the Askins meeting, which was not a presentation of a plan. We went back and did that, and one of the things that you said in the call with us last week is on an agenda, and I wrote it down here, what's on your mind, to ask the clients. And I think you said, before we even go into what we're talking to them about, is to ask them what's on their mind. Or did you mean for us to make sure we have that as part of our agenda?
I would have the first item on the agenda should be the client's agenda.
Okay. Yvette says the same thing.
I actually remember we've talked about that.
Okay.
And I've actually done this now a couple of times too. Let's say we have an appointment, for a meeting with someone, a review meeting, to ask ahead of time, is there something specific, or maybe is not because you don't want a yes-no answer, but, what specifically is on your mind, you want to ask so that, we can prepared.
Two player.
Yeah,
you did that when you sent
him
the email back.
Yeah, so I think that, and there was something that was a little different than we probably would have discussed normally, and we were better prepared than if it had just said, that very moment said, oh, well, by the way, what about this,
But that's just a great
thing. I would do both, okay? I would ahead of time, remember there were, I forget the number of, it was like four or five, six reasons that people leave their financial advisor. And one of them is they do not feel heard. One is they don't know who I am. And two is I don't feel heard, right? And three is they don't take action when I tell them about something. So when you say to them, here's the agenda for our next meeting, If there's something on your mind or something you'd like to add to the agenda, please email it back and we'll include it in the agenda. So one that says, I'm listening, the client feels heard, and we're going to take some action through that response. Then you get on the phone, and just before we get started, is there anything special, particular that's on your mind? Or just what's on your mind? It's just a nice thing to say. I say that now all the time. There was a book written on how to be a better coach, and I read it, and it came down to like six things. And the first, but they said by far the two most powerful ways to be a better coach is ask the same thing that Facebook asks you, what's on your mind? And number two is, what else? Isn't that interesting?
Yeah. I mean, that.
And it's made me a better coach, okay? Because, you know, we all want to get into the meat, right? Right away. But you got to take the time to be patient and listen and hear. Listen to learn, not just listen to even hear.
Have you ever had, have you yet had a supernova team that has had an experience such as once they start the 12-4-2, have clients challenge them that they're not sticking with it? Or, you know, in other words, clients saying, you're not doing what you said you were going to do. I mean, even if they're doing it, in other words, you know, client, suddenly we've raised the expectations. Because the client either didn't have any expectations or they were just, you know, we were just kind of limping along like what we're doing here.
It's a good question in the sense that, you know, that's one that everybody is afraid, you know, my client, I'm raising the expectations. Am I going to be able to deliver more than they expect, which is what I always want to do, under promise, over deliver. And the answer is never. In 12 years of doing this coaching, I've never had anybody say to me, my client was disappointed because he felt I was under delivering on Supernova. Contrary, I've had thousands tell me that their clients are delighted by what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So I think the point is that it's the effort that you're putting in that they love. And they're willing to accept the fact that some days you might be sick or you're on vacation or you have to cancel at the last minute for some reason. So, you know, clients are great if you treat them well. Mm-hmm. Good clients are great, right?
Right.
Impossible clients are impossible, so you don't want them.
Well, I also have kind of like the opposite question, and I think we kind of think of the same people. There are some people that don't want to talk to us all that much.
Yeah.
Well, to me, that's a red flag, okay?
Okay.
That's one where you bring up the red flag and go, whoops, what's going on? Because they're worried about something, right? Something's bothering them.
Or how about if they're just real busy?
Something is bothering them.
Okay.
And the question becomes, what is it? And our job is to try and in as gentle a way as possible, figure out why it is that they don't want to talk to us.
Okay. Let's go a step further. That's great, because that's the kind of, I mean, I'm glad that thought of it that way. What if when we get into the program and we've scheduled something with a client, now you've answered about what happens if we are unable to do it, but but we schedule something with a client and they are unable to do it, you know, let's say they back out at the last minute or something's come up, do we just let it go to the next month, or are we persistent with trying to reschedule as quickly as we can?
That's up to you.
Okay.
That one is, if you have an agenda and you need to talk to them about a mortgage, you better reschedule.
Okay.
So it's a kind of a common sense answer, you know, let your common sense rule.
If it's a
market update and you're talking about required minimum distribution and you're doing it well in advance, you can still cover it the next month.
Mm-hmm.
Then you just say, hey, love you, appreciate, you know, I know you tried to be on this call. We're just going to push it back to the next call. Unless there's something that you need to talk to us about, and then please call and reschedule.
And if it's something that's market timing or something like that, here we're back to the common sense thing. Well, this is just what I was saying. But then we could say, because it's action we want to take, we would make it happen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
Sorry we missed you today. We need to talk. Call us as soon as possible.
Yeah. Can you elaborate a little bit more, too, about, for all three of us, how do we use the enthusiastically endorsed, for other professionals? I mean, I understand we want to have folks that we can recommend our clients to, and that we want to go to those people and tell them that they are enthusiastically endorsed by us, and we want to be enthusiastically endorsed by them. But what are the clients, other than the obvious benefit of the fact that we've got the names of all these people, what do we want to let them know that's what we're doing, the clients?
Sure.
Okay.
Absolutely. You want to have a page in their folder where they have, and you both have a list of all their professional advisors.
Of the ones
they're
using. The ones that they
are
using.
They're using.
That's what I missed.
Yeah. They've got their own list of professional advisors. Their cardiologist, their internist, their dentist, their CPA, their attorney, their estate planning attorney, their counselor that they use, their psychologist, their whatever.
Okay, that's the part that I missed. It didn't fill in the blank for me, but the idea was we want to have all of that information. And if there's a hole there that they don't have, then we can fill that hole.
Right. And the idea is then you make a master list for your community. You may make a master list by geographic area.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like if you grow up in East Nashville, you want a list of people that serve East Nashville. You don't want them, you know, all the way across town.
Mm-hmm. You know, the more, this is a duh, but the more I talk to you, I can't speak for the ladies because I think they're a little sharper, but the more I talk to you about the whole supernova thing, the more it gets back to the fact, and this is an argument that we had in this business, you know, 20 years ago, about whether clients were interested in, I remember this was an argument I had with Peter when he worked with us the first time. We would argue about whether clients were more interested in the client service, in other words, the relationship, or were they interested in the rate of return that they were getting? You know, how well are they performing? And we had this argument kind of, and I mean it was a lighthearted argument, back and forth. And my point always was clients would forgive you if their rate of return was not as high as it could have been, but they wouldn't, and I say forgive, I don't mean in the most strictest sense of the word, but they would not forgive if you couldn't remember that they had three children instead of two. you know, that was way more important.
Remember the list of people that, you know, the reasons people leave.
Yep,
number one on the list is failure to communicate.
Okay.
So, I haven't heard from my FA in 6 months. What does that say?
We don't care about them.
That's exactly.
Mm-hmm.
We've forgotten about that client.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, ego-wise, can you just think about it, what you're doing to that client, how stupid you are. I mean, I'm sorry, but that's a reality, right? You're doing the worst thing you could possibly do, which is to make the client feel unimportant.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's something else, okay? So you've got a couple different jobs. One is to deliver great service and make the client feel important. But the other one is do what you do really well. So you're a surgeon, so do surgery really well. Okay? So if you're supposed to be delivering a rate of return, deliver the rate of return.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So it isn't one or the other. It's the genius of the and, not the tyranny of the or. And third, make the client feel smart.
Now,
by giving them good ideas.
Oh, okay.
Things they didn't think about. Every day, my job is to make you guys smarter. I give you an idea that makes you smarter. Right? To make you better at what you do.
Yep.
You feel smarter. You feel more confident. When people finish Supernova, it's like they graduated, you know, from training school again. You remember how good you felt, like you could conquer the world? Well, that's the way they feel when they finish Supernova. And the one thing, we get this all the time. You know, what do you think the difference is now versus before you were doing Supernova? Oh, I'm so much more confident. I feel like I could take care of any client no matter what size. Well, that's amazing, right? What a change. That's one of the biggest risks that we have is that we get a $50 million client, but we can't service them, and they leave. Well, with Supernova, you can do that. You're going to take care of a $50 million client.
Yeah.
Because they're never going to get better service than what you're giving them.
All right, I'm apologizing ahead. These things all swim through my mind when we go into these things with you, so it's kind of like I steal the show, and I don't mean to do that. But something just came to my mind about, and this just recently happened, and we're in the process of still sorting it out for the clients. I'm thinking about the wards again.
Mm-hmm.
When suddenly they start paying attention to they haven't done as well as the market. Now, these are clients. Quick story, they haven't been, quote, in the market. We've had them for a long time, but we had very balanced portfolios, and we had a more fixed income portfolio than a growth portfolio, and then suddenly now they look back over their shoulder, and it hasn't done as well as the market. And these are fairly sophisticated people, and I think we'll be able to handle it fine because we're in the middle of checking the fact that the real problem is they're spending a lot of money. But what in the Supernova program, not people we're interested in getting rid of or interested in getting rid of us, but you have a relationship you really want to keep and you really want to expand upon, and you get somebody who suddenly is switching gears on you, or you feel like is, about how they are performing. You know, like you said, the surgeon. The surgeon's operated on you a bunch, and suddenly you go and say, yeah, done a good job.
Okay, so two things, right? One is take them back to their financial plan and what they determined was their risk tolerance and what they needed the money for and whether or not they're reaching their goals for what the money's for. Okay?
Yep.
So that's where you tie the financial plan to the outcome. This is usually what we do in a bear market. Go back to the financial plan. But it also can happen in a bull market when you're underperforming because you did asset allocation and they forgot that that's what they wanted. All right, so here's a way to prevent this in the future. Go ahead and write a policy statement for them and match up an index that relates to their policy statement and their asset allocation model. So now we're not measured against the S&P 500. We're measured against a growth and moderate income portfolio, and we're up 10% in the new year, and it's up 9%. So we're outperforming the index. We're not up 16% like the NASDAQ, but we don't care because we're not taking that kind of risk, nor did they ever say they wanted to.
Well, I think that's kind of, I mean, that's the approach we're using. It's just, you know, that's something we would kind of know about doing. It just, I don't know, it kind of gets me that we have clients that we're in the middle of a good relationship with, but we haven't done the Supernova program with them. You know, if we had done the Supernova program.
So I'll tell you the truth. I just think that we spend so much time bringing in new clients that we don't give attention
clients. Yep.
And this is, I don't know how exactly I mean, and part of it is trying to cull the book and this and that. But even then, it's we just have a lot to really work on to figure out how we're going to turn that around.
Just don't get depressed this afternoon, okay?
Okay, I'll wait to talk
about that. See, that's the part about getting off the phone with you, Rob, and sometimes it's real pumped up, and the other time it's, you know, got to drag a bag of rocks because it's like we'll never get a chance to do this like we're wanting to. And again, we know what we got to do, so that's just a...
Here's the good news. The good news is once you set up Supernova, you're not going to have to set up Supernova again. Okay? So don't be depressed. It takes a lot of work initially, and then you're set.
Okay. The smiles have returned.
it's a one-time thing that you go crazy over, and then you're done. And then your productivity increases because you're not running an ER anymore.
Mm-hmm.
People stop calling because they know they're going to get called. You are organized. There's no more, oh, my God, Mrs. Jones is coming in. We got to get ready. Well, when did you know this? I actually knew it last week, but I didn't tell you. So I'm sorry. She'll be here in an hour. She'll be here in an hour, and I need everything ready. And so stop doing that major project, which I told you was the most important thing in the world to do, and do this one.
Boy, like you were sitting here with us for the last 3 months.
Yeah, I know. I did it. That's the problem with me as a coach, is that I live where you live.
All right, I'm going to shut up. Let the ladies talk or bring you up to date with whatever what we've been able to do with the segmentation.
Good.
Because we have. Y'all want to tell them about Jeremiah? No, because Jeremiah met us after.
Oh, you're right.
Yeah.
Thursday?
Jeremiah met with us.
I don't know. I was there. I think it was Wednesday or Friday.
I don't think we told him that we met with our complex manager. I'll just mention it. Our complex manager, assistant complex manager. Yeah, because don't you remember we found out. We thought we had had.
Remember, I told you you should have a call with Jerry and Gerald and those guys.
Yep. With Jerry and Gerald, and we're going to do that. We're going to call in lunch to them. We did talk about that, and we'll pay for their lunch and let them sit around and talk to us while we're eating our lunch here. So that's going to be a great idea. But we found out from our assistant complex manager that he is going to take some of these specific cases that we have been unable to jettison and help us jettison them. But we also found out that there are some hard and fast rules as it relates to the call center. And there's not a workaround with the call center because it has its own. They have their own set of rules. But he was very helpful with us and said, "Hey, look, you've got these FAAs, the financial advisor associates, that need the business, and he's part of the coaching team for them. And basically, you know, you just tell me who needs to go to what person, and he'll make it happen." So the good news for us is we're going to be able to take care of this. The bad news is he's going to have to be maybe heavy-handed on some of the people. We just don't want to dump folks on people that we work with on an everyday basis and have them think that this being dumped on. But I think he said to us he would be he's going to be the one doing it.
So we're still trying to do it.
I know. Okay. So anyhow, that's not a very good update.
Yeah.
That's an update.
Sure. Good. What else?
I think that's it, Rob. Like I said, we keep doing what we said we're going to do. We keep making baby steps.
Did you listen to the video and the Stephen Covey model? Did you?
I did the video. We did the video.
Rob, I think we're a week behind on videos.
Yeah, we're a week behind. That's what we wanted to let you know.
Oh, okay. So you're on week 7?
Yeah.
And I'm on 8?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's not bad, but it's, you know, that we're just, so we hadn't seen that one yet. But Madeline caught it, so we were able to watch the correct one. So we just need to get caught up.
All right, let me finish on the enthusiastically endorsed list. Did I tell you about calling them?
I don't think so. That's more of an elaboration I wanted you to do.
Okay, so when we get introduced to someone, we have – so there's two things. The enthusiastically endorsed list, which we covered, right? And then we have in the folder – we have introductions given and received. And I probably, you know, we don't emphasize that enough, so I'm going to overemphasize it here. The enthusiast, because some people just go, I don't think I'm going to put that in there because, you know, I don't know. I haven't gotten any referrals and I haven't given them any, so why would I put that in there? The idea is that it's a great tool to use, just like the enthusiastically endorsed list is. Because when you get an introduction from your client, you put it in there, the name and the date you get the introduction, and then another column for the date that they opened the account. Now, let's say that they did do that. They gave you an introduction. You called them and met with them, and then you they opened the account. Now, obviously, we talked – I'll go back and tell you – you know, how to make that process work more efficiently and effectively and all that. But the idea is that once they open the account, on the anniversary of that, you put it in your Outlook calendar for the anniversary, and you call both the person that introduced you and the person that opened the account. And you thank them both for – thank the client, the new client, and say, thank you very much for doing business with us. Thanks for the confidence. We really appreciate it. And they'll say, oh, that's so nice of you to call. And I've got an introduction for you. Or when you call the client that introduced you or the center of influence, you say, thank you. Today's the anniversary of when we opened the account for your friend, Mr. Smith, or Dr. Smith, and you know, confidentiality precludes me from saying too much, but I will tell you, I called him today. He's delighted by our relationship. He really appreciates the introduction that you gave us, and he's doing very well. And the client will go, oh, that's wonderful. Thank you for calling. And by the way, I've got another person for you. So it's an opportunity to do the right thing and thank them, but it's also an opportunity to make them remember that they've made two people happy. They made their friend happy, and they made you happy. And people like to make other people happy. So they'll want to do it again. And so they will introduce you to someone else. And the nice thing about that particular model is you never have to ask.
You mean ask for a referral because they're going to automatically be doing it?
Because they're going to think about it.
Oh,
you don't
have
to ask. You don't have to say a word. You're going to just thank them, and they're going to say, oh, yeah, I want to do that again. That was fun. I got another guy for you.
Mm-hmm.
You see?
Yep.
People are pleasure seekers, and they like to make people happy. So what you're doing is you're reminding them of a pleasant experience, and they're going to want to do it again.
Okay.
So anyway, you got to do it. You got to try it. So put that in there, and one for them, one for you.
So much easier than doing the old-fashioned ask for the referral.
Yeah, you can ask for the referral, but this is a way of doing it without asking.
No, that's what I'm saying. It's an awkward thing to just ask for. Yeah.
Right. This is so nice because people say, I just have trouble. I just don't ask. I say, well, do this, and you don't have to ask. And just think about all those wonderful calls you'll make that are not asking.
Mm-hmm. That's good. That's a real good idea.
The nice thing is, Jack, is that it's such a good idea that nobody will do it.
Watch us. That sounds like a challenge.
It is.
Well, but it's a real innocuous way of doing that which we know we want to do.
Right.
And I struggle with it. I always have. And, you know, I'm always looking for kind of a workaround, and that's a perfect workaround. And I can also see where it would be a great workaround with if you have one of your CPA or attorney, you know, those folks, that they end up calling you and giving you a referral, then you do exactly the same thing with them, even though they may not be a client. It just happens to be a CPA that you do work with.
Sure. Absolutely. And they'll be a client soon enough.
Yeah.
As soon as they figure out what you do versus what the competition does, they'll be a client.
Yeah. All right, I think that's all we got today.
Okay.
Which was always great, and we'll look at number 8 when Laurie sends it to us. We'll catch up with you.
Awesome.
And thank you again, Rob.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Thanks, Jack. Thanks, Yvette.
All right. See you.
Thanks, Madeline. All right, bye-bye.